Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. What's going on? Actors, directors, and other creative people, it is I, William Powell, otherwise known as the King of DC Media, here on the microphone to give you a show that will leave you entertained and with plenty of acting game. So glad you can join me tonight. Welcome to the 42nd episode of Inside Acting, because we are going to have a edutaining, that's educating and entertaining show tonight. We have on director Jason Boston and actress Nikki Estridge on to talk about their new film, On Top. And later on, we're going to have actress and fitness expert Denise Messino to talk about her film, Blood Plus Kisses. So let me bring on Jason and Nikki. Hey, Jason. Hey, Nikki.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi. Hey, how y'all doing tonight?
Doing great.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Well, thank you for having us.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, Jason, I'm going to start out with you and just ask you, man, you know, the film was executed so well. I mean, how did you pull that off?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely, my short film's called On Top. It's about a high-class call girl. And I really wanted to portray, you know, what is it really like to live, you know, in that type of, you know, environment, you know, very rich, very successful, very well off. And, you know, it was just trying to find, you know, the best locations that would fit the story. So we shot in Baltimore. We found this amazing, like, penthouse flat, you know, with the skyline and just very large. And we just tried to make it really, you know, glamorous and glitzy. And Baltimore really, really came through for us.
So what inspired you to make the film?
Sure. So I was thinking about kind of, you know, flipping some stories or typical things on their head. So, you know, I was just thinking about, like, kind of, you know, working girls or, you know, call girls and how they're always portrayed, you know, as, like, down and out or, you know, abused. And I was just thinking, you know, I wanted to tell a story where that's not the case, where, you know, the character really enjoys the job and is passionate and, you know, really, really is successful and just try to show, you know, what is a day in the life of someone like that. So it was it's a bit experimental, but I just thought it would be kind of a fun way to flip that notion on its head.
So, Nikki, what kind of preparation did you go through to really bring the character Adriana to life?
You know, it's interesting you asked that question. I went as far as just doing different types of research as I would do with any character to get ready for any film, any role. And the only thing I did not, I have actually spoken with an adult film star, not necessarily a high-class escort, but I kind of had to get some inside information on, you know, why do you do the things that you do, things like that. And, you know, the background for Adriana was different than, you know, the typical, like Jason said, the typical working girl. But I think just going, looking at things online, talking with that particular female that I did speak with in the adult industry really got me in character and just kind of gave me that mindset of, you know, why do people get into this business, this industry, and just kind of use that, channeled that type of research with my own spin of it, you know, and talking to Jason, making that my own character.
Yeah, because, I mean, in watching the film, it seemed like Adriana is just a very strong character. She's very headstrong, and it seems like she's the kind of character that knew when she was just young where she wanted to go and how she wanted to do it.
Yeah, I love that about that, Jason. I know I told you that before, and that's interesting because my character, I feel like I've always been very, you know, confident and strong, and that's the kind of personality I tend to portray. So I identified with this character so much in that regard. And I, you know, it's funny, you never really think you're going to admire someone who's a, you know, escort, quote unquote. But I really, at the end of the day, after we filmed, first of all, actually after I read the character, read the whole script, and then after we filmed it, I actually admired the character that I played because she was so confident and passionate and just really just an awesome character to play.
Yeah, and she's, you know, sophisticated and calm. Like, you know,
right.
She's not like the typical in-your-face type of, you know, working girl. Like, she's very reserved and very, you know, like, calculated. And that's what I like about her. Like, she doesn't blow up. She never shows her cards. You know, she's always this kind of cool and collected character, which I love because you never really know what is she about. I mean, she talks about how she's already rich. She's already wealthy. She already has status. But why does she continue to do it? Because she actually loves being a call girl and an escort. So I just found that whole idea, like, very interesting, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, Jason, to hear you talk, it does sound like I want to see that TV show. I mean, it'd be a very good TV show. That she's, like, got a lot of machinations going on there. She's kind of Machiavellian, and she's got the mayor, played by my man Bruce Allen Dawson. He was in there. Some of my boy El Toro Prince was in there. I mean, this is going to be a good that'll be a good TV show.
Yeah,
Jason,
maybe,
what do you think?
Maybe someday.
Yeah, yeah, for real. I mean, I like the concept. So now, was the ending of On Top always? Did it come out the way you envisioned?
So yeah, I was thinking about the ending a lot. You know, how are we gonna kind of show, you know, what should really happen to this character? This character is obviously doing something pretty wrong and illegal, but I mean, she's elite. She's literally on top. She's untouchable. So I really wanted to show that, you know, in the ending, and maybe the ending is a little bit over the top. You know, she kind of gets away with everything, but I felt like that fit, you know, the film and her character.
That's what's up. That's what. So why did you decide to release the film online?
So I've had some success with film festivals, and the local ones are pretty good in the area. I wish they would have larger turnouts and more interest, you know, by just the community, but they're pretty good. But I found that, like, submitting to, like, the top tiers or kind of nationally, it's pretty kind of discouraging, you know. A lot of rejection letters, a lot of money and time invested. And I've just found, you know, I'd rather just put it out there so people can see, know who I am, try to connect with them online than, like, you know, do a crapshoot and just wait and wait and wait and see, oh, maybe I'll get in one or two festivals. So I'm a little bitter towards festivals. I definitely see that they have value. Mm. But, you know, it's just really hard to just put everything on hold and just wait around until, you know, they get back to you, you know.
Yeah, that could be frustrating for an artist, you know, to go through all that red tape like that.
Definitely. I mean, if you win a big one, though, then that's you're pretty much golden, you know?
Yeah, right. Yeah, that'll launch your career. You win, like, a Sundance or something, you're on your way.
Exactly. So it's a risk, I guess, you have to take. I don't know. But for
this,
I don't know. I thought it would fit well online. You know, it's a fun dynamic film. I feel like a lot of people could just share it. So that was the reason.
I'm going to throw a question out there. And Nikki, I want you to go first. And Jason, I want you to put in your two cents. But what do you think of the DMV area film scene?
Well, first of all, this past year was my first experience with anything in this area because I'm not sure if you're aware, but I moved from Tennessee just about 2.5 years ago. And the first year I was kind of getting acclimated to the area and starting a new job and just kind of getting used to the agents out here and everything like that. So really getting my feet wet regarding just the whole acting scene out here. But I didn't really have much experience with the DMV Film Festival until this past year. So this is my first experience, and I've got to say it's definitely interesting. I love the culture out here. I think it's great that a lot of this is brought from, you know, Maryland and Virginia and D.C., and it's all kind of just in one big area. And I think that's great. There's such more of a following, more support out here, and I think it's great what local filmmakers and actors and producers and everybody's doing, just networking and getting together, and I think it's a great thing to have.
Jason?
Yeah, I definitely agree with Nikki. Like I said, the film festivals are pretty good here. They're getting bigger, and you know, you get to meet a lot of people, which is great. But the only kind of downside is that it's, you know, I want to be a working professional in the movie industry, and there's just, I'm sure Nikki and William, you know, that there's not a lot of paid jobs out there, and it's all indie, it's all low budget, it's all Kickstarter, and, you know, I mean, that can only go so far. You know, if you want to be a working person in the industry, you know, we need a lot more productions, a lot more money invested in independent films, and, you know, is there even an audience? You know, do people even want to see local films in the area? I mean, these are all issues that we need to think about.
More coming here, though.
What's that?
More has been coming here from based on what I've found, is more is coming here every year. So I know it's coming slowly, but it sounds like it's gaining a little bit more ground each year with popularity of, you know, more people coming here, more actors. You know, because everybody used to think, oh, if you're not in L.A. or New York, there's nothing to fit. You know, you're nobody, you're nothing, and you can't work. And I found that that's definitely true, Jason. I just think that hopefully in the future it'll keep continuing to gain more ground and more popularity to be here.
Yeah, and I think with organization, you know, we have a lot of filmmakers here doing their own thing, but we don't really come together and kind of talk about how do we want to grow this industry. You know, can we talk to the film offices? Can we get grants and help with them? You know, like, those conversations don't happen. I know there was a local documentary, I think DMV film, about this issue. So
I'm
interested in seeing that, just to get their take on it.
Yeah, I saw it, and it was excellent. It was by Corey Williams. He's been on the show, and I actually wrote about it in my column, DC Actors Examiner. And, a matter of fact, one of the subjects, my buddy Kim Huang, was on the show last week talking about it, and it was fantastic. And the whole reason that Corey made that documentary film was because he'd get in heated arguments with directors from New York and other places, and they always say, well, you know, that the Baltimore District, Maryland, Virginia area was sort of the, I guess, the bastard redheaded stepchild of filmmaking, but he begged to differ, and he was like, well, let's put this out there and just show that there's a lot of talent in this area.
Definitely.
So let's move on to, I'm wondering a little bit about this whole flood of digital filmmaking that's out there. It seemed like it's really opened up the gates for a lot of new filmmakers. So, like, as a young filmmaker, what's a good way to stand apart from the crowd?
Yeah, I think it's a great thing. I mean, there's so many different platforms, and the technology is ripe for anyone to become a filmmaker. I mean, you have YouTube and Vimeo, and there's just so much stuff out there, you know, for someone who's trying to break in or make a difference. It's really challenging. You know, my take on it is how I want to do it is you need to tell really great stories on film, and something that's different, something that's unique, something that's edgy, and that's what I try to do with On Top, because, you know, if I just make a typical or a generic film or a decent film, you know, no one's going to watch it. You know, you really need to make something that's really amazing, you know, really stands out and brands yourself as, okay, this guy can do this type of film, and he's different, you know, and that's what I've tried to do.
Yeah, you have to, you got to set yourself apart, really, not just as an actor. Actors have to set themselves apart, and filmmakers have to set themselves apart. I mean, it's sort of like, I guess it's back in the day, I mean, you had, like, let's say back in the day, writers had typewriters. Everybody's got a typewriter, but what's going to come out of that typewriter? You know what I mean? I mean, you can have all this fancy equipment, but you know, everybody has the same technical ability, but then it does come down to the storytelling and being able to put a product out there that's going to be head and shoulders above what everybody else has.
Definitely.
Okay, so Nikki, I'm going to come back to you and ask you, in your career as an actress, what's been your favorite role?
William, you know that's such a tough, such a tough question to answer because, you know what, somebody paid me a really great compliment the other day. They actually watched On Top and they said, Nikki, I'm loving your range. They're like, you know, you played Green Castle, you played the sweet, innocent girl, like more like a love story. They're like, then you were in Soulmate and you played this hard detective that was really rough around the edges. And they're like, then you have this right here where you're playing more of like, you know, you do have the sex appeal and you have, but you're also a very confident character. And, you know, it was awesome to hear that, you know, people do appreciate the range, you know, which I love. And so it's so difficult to compare these roles, whether it be film or some of the TV roles I've played. It's so hard because I love so much about every character I've played. You know, so it's such a hard answer, you know, to give because I love them all, really.
You've been listening to too many political debates. They're kind of like
you're
kind of all over the place there. Oh, they're all great. Oh.
You know what? I'm not yet. No, but to be honest with you, that's very true. I mean, you know, maybe as I further on in my career and even develop into, you know, getting additional roles and stuff, maybe I'd be able to narrow it down. But I love all these roles. It's so much fun to be someone different. You know that. So, you know, it's a lot of fun. But if this doesn't work out, then I may run for office, you know.
Okay, you know? Hey, yeah, you might be the mayor of Baltimore. Who knows? You might be the mayor for real.
Right, for the real.
It might be the other way around. You might have a gigolo or something. I don't know.
Right. Who knows? Anything
I'm
you
just
have,
messing
right?
with you. Yeah, so talk a little bit about Cyclone. Tell me about that film.
Oh, Cyclone. That was actually one of my first films I actually got to be a part of. That's actually a lot of fun, too, because I actually got to pretend I shot somebody, killed somebody. So that was, that was actually shot in a small town near Nashville, Tennessee, and really long days. But it was a lot of fun because we, you know, the blood, the special makeup, and the just different effects, and got to use a real gun. It was actually a lot of fun to shoot that. Did you get a chance to watch that?
I have not seen it. I hear you talk, I want to see it.
Yeah, you know what? It's awesome. This girl gets committed for, or thrown in jail for a crime she didn't commit, and she ends up taking matters into her own hands. It's kind of like a little, it gives you a little Quentin Tarantino feel to it, so check that out. It's only, I think it's like a 12-minute short, so you'll like it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and everybody's been talking about Soulmate. So you played the detective in that one, huh?
Yes, I did. That was a fun role as well. So. She's a little, she was edgy there as well. She was very opinionated and hard-nosed detective, and thought she knew everything. Which she was pretty smart. She was a little smart whip, but yeah, that was a fun role as well.
How was it like working with Sean Anthony?
You know, that whole production was really neat. It was a unique experience, and I thought that it sounds like, from what I heard, that they cleaned up with acting as well, like with the producing and the directing and all that good stuff, and so it was a really unique production to be a part of. So, and I enjoyed, I really walked away from that project loving my character, loving what I got out of it, and it just, I was really happy with it.
That's what's up. So now, Jason, So what made you decide to create your company, Travest Films?
Travesty, without the Y. Travesty Films. So, yeah, I mean, I've been a local filmmaker for a couple of years, and, you know, I just felt it was time to really kind of put myself out there in a more professional way and create, you know, my company and a website and all that. So I could start, you know, hopefully, you know, getting, you know, more work and creating more films and just have a destination that people can find me. Because, you know, if you just, if I'm just a name, like just Jason Boston, then it's kind of hard for people to know where to go. So, you know, just doing that whole process, organizing all my films and all my work and all the information, it's been a long road, but it's just great to finally pull it all together and just be able to show people.
Now, I hear that you're working on a feature documentary film called From the Ground Up, and it talks a little bit about the current state of the D.C. fashion industry. Now, how did that come about?
So it was actually someone who I met at American University, and is another filmmaker named Elaine Mensa, and she wanted to do a feature-length documentary kind of about the D.C. fashion scene and what's currently happening. You know, there's lots of different local designers and shops and kind of just the growth of what's happening. And it's kind of very similar to the film industry, you know, that it's very nascent. You know, there's a lot of people, you know, involved in the fashion industry, but they're really looking to take it to the next level. And how do they do that? You know, is it through local government or, you know, fashion weeks or, you know, how do you really build the buzz, you know, locally to get the fashion industry going? So we've essentially interviewed, you know, maybe 20 or 30 fashion professionals, and I've just been basically shooting and editing and kind of helping her, you know, with the storyline and putting it all together. So I'm super excited to be a part of it, and I think, you know, we're going to have a big premiere, and, you know, we're hoping it'll go to fashion festivals. So we're just really excited for it.
Okay, Jason, so I see that Denise Massino has joined us. Hey, Denise, is that you?
It's me. Hello, hello.
Hey, how are you doing tonight?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Fantastic. Say hello to Jason and Nikki.
Hi, Jason. Hi, Nikki.
Hello.
All right, okay. So I hear that you're doing a lot of exciting things. You got your Warrior Dash Challenge. You got your little documentary on superheroes, real-life superheroes.
Uh-huh.
So why don't you start out talking about your documentary?
Yeah, well, I guess it's going on 2 years that I've been involved in working on a documentary about real-life superheroes, or you might call them costumed activists as well. And it's been a very, very interesting, fun, heartwarming, and inspiring experience so far. The Warrior Dash was one of the things that I got involved in because I wanted to get involved and develop my own sense of activism, which is a little bit of a play on words. Of course, you know, in my lifestyle, I'm very health and fitness oriented, and that's what I promote. I thought it would be cool to get people who are out there doing things for their communities involved in activism in a different way, getting them fitter, healthier, more conscious about being advocates for their own health and fitness. And so I put a team together of costumed activists and real-life superheroes for the Warrior Dash, which we did going on 2 weeks ago now.
Uh-huh.
We raised money for St. Jude Children's Hospital in the process, and so it was just a terrific experience.
So now the documentary, tell me a little bit more about that. So now, did you actually get in there, and so you're the executive producer, and are you a person that's like wearing a lot of different hats with this or what?
I'm one of the producers. Yeah, I'm actually doing this project with my husband, and he's the filmmaker. I'm a little bit of talent producer, I kind of do a little bit of everything. But essentially, in the documentary, you're following my story, which is, a person who is meeting real-life superheroes and costumed activists and interviewing them and learning from them and meeting people from all over the United States and some people from Canada and just getting an understanding of what it is that they're doing and how they got started as real-life superheroes and what the origin of their name is and what it is that what the impetus was for them to become costumed activists, essentially. And in the process, I'm being taught what it takes to be a real-life superhero, you know, what they do, how they prepare themselves. They're giving me advice on what I might consider doing if it was something that I wanted to become involved with. And I have, you know, I've been really inspired by the creativity involved in doing something in your community and sort of taking part in your society and your community at large. I mean, there are people who do crime patrols. They're walking the streets of their communities and their cities and acting as sort of an extra set of eyes for the local police and keeping their neighbors and their neighborhoods safer. And then there's people out there who are doing community outreach work. They're doing volunteer work. They're feeding the homeless. I have friends who are real-life superheroes and costume activists in New York and New Jersey now who are volunteering and spending long hours trying to help the people that have been dealing with the wrath of the storms. I think I went into the whole idea of being a real-life superhero a little cynical of it and thinking, what is this about? Why do you have to dress up and why do you have to take on this, persona to do something good? And is that necessary? And have been just completely charmed by what's being done, what people are doing. And in many cases, there are people who are putting on costumes and taking on these alter egos and have these names. And what they're doing is they're bringing awareness to themselves. And that's part of the point. The point is to extend a hand in a way that feels friendly, that gets attention, that makes people stop and say, okay, well, what is this about and what are you doing? And engaging their communities in a way that's non-threatening, in many ways.
Speaking of alter egos, talk a little bit about Blood Plus Kisses. How did that come about?
Blood and Kisses. Blood and Kisses is a feature film that I starred in, and I was also one of the producers. It's a vampire movie. It's a vampire movie that has myself and several other female bodybuilders in the movie. It was a project that came out of a photo shoot that I did. I was in this abandoned Pennsylvania hotel that had beautiful pillars, marble pillars, and it was beautiful and it was eerie at the same time. And I was wearing a very dark ballroom type gown with sort of very dark looking makeup, and one of the people that was on the set said, you know, my gosh, you look like sort of this Spanish vampire. And out of that comment came sort of this playful banter back and forth about the character and what she would be doing and who she was. And that was the very beginning of the story for Blood and Kisses. And we ended up shooting the movie in that location over the course of two different trips, two different shoots, in about 18 days.
Huh. So,
and I got to kill 9 people.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Oh, that
I got
sounds
to
like
kill
fun.
9 people. No, it was. It was a lot of fun.
So, Jason, you still there, man? Hello? I don't know if he's still there. Jason?
I'm sorry, I'm here.
Oh, okay, man. I thought you were okay. Yeah, so have you thought of doing a horror film?
You know, I've actually done one. It's called Cowboy Killer.
Uh-huh.
This was in 2008, and it's actually on Netflix and Amazon and YouTube, I believe. So we actually shot it in Winchester, Virginia, and it's kind of about a deranged cowboy who goes on a killing spree. So, yes, I have had a touch of horror, and I quite like it.
Huh. Are you going to do any in the future?
After that experience, you know, it turned me off a little bit about horror. You know, we had a lot of the effects in the blood, and it was very complicated to make everything look right. It was fun. You know, I think it really depends on the story and the script. You know, I just don't want to do horror just for the sake of killing people and chopping people up. You know, it would have to be quite interesting and compelling that deserves to be horror. But I like it. I like scary movies, but we'll see.
So going back to Denise, so talk a little bit about diet and exercise. Now, I know actors, you know, we need to keep our energy up, and, you know, you got to look a certain way when you're in front of the camera. And when you're in front of the camera, it's sort of like, I think you it's not so much that you look bigger in front of the camera, it's just like you look wider. So talk a little bit about diet and exercise. What's some good ways actors can stay lean and mean?
Well, you know, my training has been very sports specific because, of course, I'm a professional bodybuilder. And for, you know, over 20 years, I've been training specifically for my sport. And, of course, that means, you know, developing a certain amount of size and symmetry, because to me, bodybuilding is really all about symmetry. But because of the Warrior Dash challenge, I started running. And a very regimented training routine that would include, you know, 45 minutes of cardiovascular work, either on a treadmill or a bicycle or a hike or a walk, as a bodybuilder, in addition to maybe a half an hour or 40 minutes of weight training every day, shifted for me in that my cardio training became interval runs, so that I could do this 5K, which is not a lot to a lot of people, but to bodybuilders, we don't like to run. but for fear of losing muscle. but I think that what I learned in putting my body through this different type of circuit training and more CrossFit type training and interval runs and building my stamina and my endurance is that it, you know, my body responded really, really well. And I think that interval training for people who want to look fit and stay fit and have a certain amount of endurance and sort of have this well-balanced body is a really good idea. A certain amount of CrossFit and circuit training that combines some sort of resistance training and probably interval running is a really, really good idea. And what I liked about preparing for the Warrior Dash was that it took me out of the gym and it put me in a place where I was doing more calisthenics. So I was using my own body weight, you know, and push-ups and chin-ups and things like that. And my workout was done between my running and, you know, my circuit training within about 40 minutes, which is half the time, you know, I might normally invest in my training. So I really liked that, and I thought it was really, really an effective way to stay in shape.
That's what's up. That's what's up. So now, Jason.
Yes.
I'm going to ask you, what's going to be your next project? I mean, what do you see, like, in the next year? What's going to be some of your hot projects, man?
You got it. So, yeah, a lot of people are asking me, you know, I should do features. But for some reason, I really like short films. You know, you can experiment more. You can do them a little faster. So I'm thinking I might want to do another short. I'm thinking of a crime drama, you know, like city cop type of drama set in Baltimore. Almost like The Wire. It's going to be a little different, but a short film about that, you know, maybe, you know, about, you know, the district attorney trying to lock up criminals and maybe like from the criminal's perspective. So something along the lines of that, you know, just kind of exploring what it's like to be in those positions. Yeah, hopefully in the future I can get a feature done and really start with that.
Okay, so we're coming up on about 3 minutes left. So, Denise, before I let you go, you got to tell me, how is the Arnold Classic? That's something I've always wanted to go to. I assume that you go to that every year, right?
Religiously, yeah. It is an extravaganza. There's nothing like it in the world as far as fitness goes. And I think a lot of people have a misconception that it's an event that is all bodybuilding. It's not. They get probably about 170,000 people in Columbus, Ohio every year coming through from all over the world. They get about 18,000 athletes. And they have 44 different events. Anything from martial arts to gymnastics, ballroom dancing, fencing, including bodybuilding on the pro and the amateur level. I mean, they're adding the Scottish Games, Highland Games this year. It is, if you're ever interested in going to an event that includes sports and fitness and healthy bodies, that's the show to go to. It's an amazing, amazing event. And I think they have an Arnold Europe that started 2 years ago. This year was the second year they did it, and next year they're going to be doing an Arnold Brazil.
Wow.
So I know the promoters very, very well. They're dear, dear friends of mine, incredible people. It is an amazing event, an inspiring event.
I'll have you on again. You have to tell me about Arnold. But we're down to about 2 minutes. So, Nikki, thank you so much for dialing back in. I know you got family coming, and I know it's getting late. But I'm going to give you and everybody else a chance to just plug away. I mean, I'm going to give everybody about 30 seconds to just put all your projects out there, your websites, your blood type, anything you want to say to my listeners. Okay, Nikki, you go first.
Well, right now, I don't mind to say it, I'm actually currently working on the baby that will be due in like 3 weeks. So right now, I'm
yeah,
just,
congratulations.
Congratulations.
So I did just finish and completed a Marriott commercial, but that's I'm doing the short term things right now. So I'd say website wise, IMDb would be the most up to date website I have right now, and working on a demo reel that should be out in a few months, and then after this baby's clipped, and then I'll be out on the scene. So look for me in a few months.
That's what's up. Okay, Jason, go.
Sure. So, like I mentioned, I'm hopefully going to do another crime drama short set in Baltimore. Hopefully that will be next year. I'm also finishing up the fashion documentary I mentioned previously. But you can go to my film website at travestyfilms.com, TravestyFilms.com. Thanks.
Okay, Denise?
Well, our Blood and Kisses vampire movie release is slated for around Valentine's Day, appropriately enough. And the website for that is bloodandkissesallspelledout.com. And also our superhero movie, you can go to our activism.com website. It's ACTIVE-ISM.com to see what we did with the superheroes for St. Jude and what's next.
Okay, hey, I want to thank you all profusely for joining me tonight. It was a fantastic show. I'm sure I'll have all of you on the show again someday, and I really enjoyed it. Really had a lot of fun.
Thank you,
William.
Okay, you're welcome.
Good luck to all of you.
All right.
Thank you, as well.
And let me tell all my listeners out there to remember that through struggles you reach the stars. Good night, everybody.
Good night.